let's start. Let's see what we got.
Yeah. If we're only doing 5 minutes, I'll start just very, very quickly with setting on the parasha. This parasha is one of the core moments where the bitachon in Klal Yisrael went completely haywire. Hashem had promised them this great gift. It was promised to the Avraham Avinu, was promised hundreds of years earlier, and they suddenly weren't trusting something. There was a lack of trust, and they said that they want to send spies. This week's parasha starts off: Shlach Cha An Hashem. Send the spies there for yourself, meaning that it's not something that you need to do. If you feel that you need to do it, then you can do it. And this is really the game of Hishtadlut, that they went there, they spent 40 days checking out, and what were they checking out for? They were checking out to see whether we can handle this by ourselves. And that really missed the point in why Hashem was giving them the land. And Hashem actually says, I don't remember the Lashon, but he says, why did you not trust me? Why did you not trust me? And really, as we know, Tisha B'Av and the destruction of the Beis Mikdash, both the first time around and the second time around, all came as a result of this lack of trust. Meaning that we sometimes think, you know, that we're like being smart. Yeah, no, it's fine, Hashem. Thank you for the present. I appreciate it. We still need to go in just to make sure that everything, you know, that everything's good. And the report that they came back with is that everything is oversized. Everything is too big. Everything's too overwhelming. Now, in reality, the spirituality there is also here in Eretz Yisrael is also overwhelmingly larger than anywhere else. When Avraham Avinu was given Eretz Yisrael and Bris Benim Sarim, Rashi says in Parashat Lechacha that Hashem said about Eretz Yisrael, "V'shom eya lochem leilakim," and there I will be for you for a god. V'hadar v'chutz la'aretz k'misha ein la'elaka, and someone who dwells in chutz la'aretz is like he doesn't have a god, which means that he had already been promised to their great grandparents that this was going to be the land. And it was a land where Hashem was going to be much more present. And what they saw, they just saw the physical aspects of the land. They just saw the oversized grapes, the oversized people, the giants, etc. And what they failed to see was they failed to see what role Hashem played in this. Like, even with the lack of belief in actually sending spies, you see two of the spies still went now and were able to see things with a positive light, because they were able to see that this is being controlled by something else. Therefore, if there's big people, there must be bigger potential for different things. If there's massive grapes, maybe we just need, you know, loads of labor-dick shuls where we can drink loads of wine every day. We don't know. But everything was much, much larger, because also spiritually it was going to be much larger, and that was the main thing. Physicality in this world is only here to feed spirituality. Everything physical, from when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas. Before then, the Pasuk says that they looked down and they were not embarrassed at the sight of their naked bodies. And the minute that they ate it, they looked down and they felt that they were now something separate from Hashem. That was where physicality and spirituality took a split. That's why he had to get kicked out of Gan Eden, because Gan Eden was where everything physical was serving a spiritual purpose. And all the way through the Torah, we go in this backwards and forwards where physicality and spirituality are either working together, in which case it's good. Avraham Avinu by the Akedah, he offered up his son, the most physical thing, to a spiritual place, and that was essentially what turned that place into a place that the Beis HaMikdash could lie on. With Yaakov, when Yaakov went to that place, we know that the 12 stones by his head, Rashi says that the 12 stones on his head all merged into one. Why? Because this was a place where there was unity between physical and spiritual. Yaakov dreamt of a ladder. The Pasuk says that the ladder was standing on the ground, the Roshay Magia Hashemaima, and the head of it was reaching heaven. What does that mean? That this was a place where physical and spiritual would join. That was the place that ended up being the base of Mikdash, where physical and spiritual, we were taking every sheep's wood, water, oil, wine, and all the various physical things, and we were offering it up. And it's just interesting. I've spent the last few days looking through different parishes, and you see this whole thing go back and forwards from after Adam. You have
Yerushalayim.
Huh?
It's called Yerushalayim.
You see?
Yerushalayim.
What about Yerushalayim?
The name is the reality of the heaven and earth together. It's nice too.
Shalem. Very nice. Yeah. So as in, yeah, so that was why the Beis Mikdash would have been there, but really essentially the entire world, as in everything physical, until they ate from the Eitz Hadas. What does it mean, Eitz Hadas Tov Ra? There is a creation called Ra, because Ra is what fills the space when Tov is not there. Tov is, so Hashem built the whole world, and it says after every day that he said about the world that that it was Tov Ma'od. On Tuesday he said it twice. But ultimately Hashem kept looking, and everything was filled with Tov. Everything was made from Tov and filled with Tov. Chava and Adam, when they ate from the Eitz Hadas, What does it mean, Eitz Hadas Tov HaRa? So it wasn't that the actual fruit had some chemical in that, you know, that suddenly makes you no bad. It was that Hashem had placed a spiritual boundary around this tree. He said, you're not allowed to touch it. The minute that they touched it, they had broken a boundary that Hashem had put. Break a boundary that Hashem put means that Hashem is not in this act with you. So they created the first act in the world that didn't have Hashem in it. It didn't have Tov in it. So we said, when there's a lack of Tov, it equals Ra. So we're still trying to make up for this sin of theirs. We had the luchas, which was the most physical, spiritual thing. When it came down, we weren't able to cope with it in this world because we were at the same time we were using gold to dance around the Egel Azar. So this idea of coming into Eretz Yisrael was meant to be Admas Kodesh, where everything in the ground, everything from the ground up, would have mitzvahs in. We have so many mitzvahs that only apply here in Eretz Yisrael, and the idea of them is that this is meant to be a place. Hashem had tried with the mon, giving us mon from upstairs, as in he had tried giving us something that had this combination of physicality and spirituality from upstairs, and it didn't work. Hashem said, fine, so let's do it from the ground upwards, and that was the mistake that they made. The mistake that they made was that had they actually trusted Hashem here and not had to send spies to make sure that it was good enough for them, then history since then would have looked very, very different. The issue was that because they didn't trust Hashem, they therefore went into this place that was meant to be where there was a combination of physicality and spirituality, and all that they could notice in it was all the physical things that had gone wrong. They noticed that there was giants, they noticed that there was big grapes. They didn't understand how that connects into spirituality, and that's why it says that when they cried, on the night that they cried, that was the night of Tisha B'Av, where we have had many, many terrible things happening to us in history on this night of Tisha B'Av, because they cried there about something that they shouldn't have. Why shouldn't they have cried? Because there was absolutely nothing to cry about. They had seen giants, they had seen all these big grapes. So what? Firstly, why had they seen them? Why had they even sent people to go there? That was lack of bitachon number one, and lack of bitachon number two was that when they were reporting back, it was like, Hashem is not in the picture. We are not going to be able to fight this battle against those strong people. And that was how they left it. So that is just a short thing on this week's Sedra. Now we'll try to go in to...
Such a revealing of gratitude being offered to them. It's like, yeah, the same point, and it's all a question of prescription or respective or relativeness. Three different things are the same. What are you looking at?
Yeah. Do
you really know that?
So that's the thing. That,
same thing, a different
story. Yeah. Relativeness, respectiveness.
For as long as physicality and spirituality became more and more separated, so Cain, who was Adam's son, the first thing that he did was he went and offered up a carbon, but he gave the carbon from the lowest of physicality. He gave the rubbish. His brother Hevel gave the most beautiful. So Hevel had got this right. But we all come from Cain. After that, it just, physicality and spirituality started separating more and more and more until it came to a stage where people, not just that they weren't using their physicality for spirituality, physicality became its own god. And we've had that like all the way through. Like, that was like the terrible thing with the Greeks, was that the Greeks turned their actual physical bodies into godly things. They started the Olympics, etc. Anyway, let's do some inside. We are in here on page, we got it in there, on there is page 30. Over here, Kamosha Amar. So we're just finishing off here a piece from last week about the independent. We said that that someone who lives his life with bitachon. We're on page 13, yeah. We said last week that someone who lives his life with bitachon will not need to flatter other people for their opinion, will not need to think, if he wants to say something, if someone has done something that he doesn't think is good, he won't mind to talk up about it, because if he knows that he's doing it for the good, then he doesn't fear about the repercussions, he doesn't fear the people that he's talking to are going to take action, because he knows that no one can take action against him without the approval of Hashem. So we'll just finish off that piece by reading out a few more verses that support this idea. The following verses will support the above, that someone, we're right at the top of page 13. Over here we are, Kamosha Amar over here. The following verses will support the above, that someone who trusts in God can rebuke others without shame or fear of repercussions and will be able to stand up to the wicked. Kamosha Amar Hanavi, as the prophet said, Vashem Elikim Yazar Li, Al Kain Loi Nichlamti, Al Kain Samti Fonai Kachalomish, Va'eda Ki Loi Evosh. As the prophet said, but the Lord God helps me, therefore I was not embarrassed, therefore I made my face like flint, and I knew that I would not be shamed. Meaning, because he knew Hashem was helping him, he knew not to be embarrassed by whatever the situation. Therefore, he made his face like flint, meaning that he was able to keep a straight face because there was no emotion coming out to his face because he was already feeling that he's not going to be embarrassed because Hashem was helping him. And he says, and he ends that he knew that he would not be ashamed. And another pasuk, va'amar al tira mehem or medivreim al tira, fear them not, as in do not fear them and do not fear their words. And at the end of the same pasuk, it says, va'amar shalom bracha, va'amar medivreim al tira umepneim al teichos, fear not their words and do not be dismayed by them.
Very serious.
Me. That's for shalom. Va'oma al tirim mipnei, va'oma al teichas mipnei, va'oma kesham echazak mitzoy nasati mitzchecho leisira isam leisechas mipnei. Do not fear them. And it in the same chapter says, do not be dismayed by them. And it says, as shameh, which Shamir is Dil, as Shamir, stronger than flint, I have set your foreheads, do not fear them, and do not be intimidated by them. Okay, so that was finishing off the point that we were in last week. Now we're in a new benefit.
Benefit, exactly what we understand saying, that Dil, you know, Shamir is stronger than flint. What was he?
Hashem was saying, as Shamir is stronger than flint, I have set your forehead, meaning that, like, I am looking after you, and I decided the same that we had earlier, that he said that his face looked like flint, meaning that no one could tell that he was scared or embarrassed. So Hashem says that I have made your face look like that thing that no one should be scared of you. It's just basically, it's a play on the words, because the first pasuk that he used said flint. It had flint, so it says, Al-Kain Samti Ponai Kachalomish. So this Shomei Chozok Mitzoy Nasati Mitzchecha is the same thing as Chalomish. Okay, so now is one of the main things of Bitochen. If you ask anyone to summarize the whole Shah Bitochen in a single word or a couple of words, these next few words, peace of mind and serenity, are the two main words that describe the inner calm that someone with Bitochen has. Because it comes from a place where the more bitachon, the more you're realizing how much everything is being controlled by Hashem. Therefore, how little is in my control, and therefore, okay. So, I am aware of the issues that I've got. I'm aware that I need a refuah here, I need money for this. I'm aware of all these things, but I'm also realize that none of it is in my control. It's Hashem. Obviously, there's what I can do for Hashem to sort it out, but to start getting worried because one meeting was cancelled and I went for this interview and I didn't get the job, that is not going to help us. So, with,
it's amazing.
You understand?
Huh? It's not hard for you in English.
What, to talk in English?
To explain in English. Ah. No, really.
I can.
The bridge translation.
I can.
You can read the Kol Mochan.
I can read the Kol Mochan.
No, Kol Haolam ze Kvar Mochan. Ze bedyuk ma she'anachnu omrim. Okay, so let's read inside. Peace of mind and serenity. Umehem, among the Torah benefits of bitachon, shabiteach belikim, when a person trusts in Hashem, yavi'ehu bitchonoi lefanos esliboi me'inyonei ha'olam, his trust will bring him to turn his heart away me'inyonei olam, from a preoccupation with worldly matters, oliyachin levavoi le'inyonei ha'avoida, and instead dedicate himself to matters of divine service. Now, this is not... this is not the entire mention of everything, meaning that you can't look at this one paragraph and decide anything out of it, because he does go on to explain, firstly, what he means by a preoccupation with worldly matters. Does he mean a job, or does he mean, I don't know, going to a cinema to watch a film? And he's going to break down all these various points as we go through. He explains that the advantage of bitachon, the advantage is that you will be able to remove yourself more and more from worldly matters and concentrate more on divine service. In terms of the tranquility of his soul, peace of mind, and lack of worrying regarding worldly matters, he can be compared to an alchemist. The Hanachoshes v'Habedil lechesef alidei chachma umaisa. which is the person who knows how to transform silver to gold and copper and iron to silver through his talents and efforts. Such a person, if it were possible, would have little worry regarding his livelihood. So what he does here is he's invented a new job. The Rabbeinu Bachya has invented a job which that this actual form of the job is obviously not in existence, but he also does it as a bit of a joke, because most people don't realize that they are very, very much like this. What is this job? Someone who can take silver, will look at kesef, will say kesef into, I don't know how to say that, into hafochet ken, who mapechet kesef lezahav, okay? Vegam nechoshet vebedil, who will say it lekesef. Lama ulo said it lezahav. As will sarich. Kodem kol, if you look at the order, he says he could turn this into gold and he could turn these things into silver, which means that he could also turn those into gold, but that has to go through another whole process.
Doing that, or it's in mind,
you'll
see.
So basically, as we go through, the reason why he's gone for this alchemist is he's gone for something that does not exist, because there is no one that can take something and just turn it into something greater. There's always a certain amount of effort that has to go in. Okay.
Physical.
Okay. והוא יודע להפוך הכסף לזהב והנחושת והבדל לכסף.
אנשים
שעובדים
על
מישהו אחר. לא. כן. The alchemist זה משל לכל העולם, לכל עבודה בעולם. למה? אז כל פעם יש משהו שאני נותן. אני נותן או הזמן שלי, או הכסף שלי, או לא יודע. I think that's the two main ones.
Energy.
אבל האנרגיה זה גם הזמן. I'm always giving something because I think that giving this, I'm going to get that. Yeah? I give silver and I'm turning it into gold. It's amazing. All you have to do is invest 5 million into this building, and in 10 years' time, you'll have 10 million. That's the same. That just takes 10 years. So the alchemist is just a mashal, really, for the whole world, and you will understand who the alchemist more is as we go. As we go through the 10 things. A person who has bitachon can be compared to someone whose livelihood is secure, because he knows how to transform cheap materials into gold and silver, and therefore has little to worry about. In fact, the author will now establish that a person who has bitachon is superior to an alchemist. Yeah. So the reason why he mentioned this, he brings here in the notes, is that he's trying to say that really a baal bitachon is like an alchemist. Lama. I have bitachon in Hashem that Hashem is going to give me my parnasa. Therefore, Hashem can turn this silver into gold. Hashem can make this turn into a pile of $50 bills. Will he? Probably not, because he also doesn't need to. But he can, and he can make anything. So really, a baal bitachon looks at silver as being something that, to him, in a certain sense, it already has the same value as gold. Because both of them, this is how much Hashem said Hashem. Now this is what Hashem said, and they work like that, whereby they look at things differently to how a non-baal bitachon. However, he says that a baal bitachon is even better than this alchemist. Ve'im hu chazak be'vitchoinu be'likim yesh lo'i olav yisroin ba'asara dvarim. A person who has bitachon hu yoter tov be'eser dvarim. Kechilosam. The first one. Shabal ha'alchemia sorech lidvarim meyuchadim la'melacha. Lo yugma loy dova zulasam, v'lo yimtzaim b'chol eis or b'chol makom. Firstly, the alchemist needs a specific set of tools. He needs his hammer, he needs his screwdriver, he needs his fire, his pot, his oven. He needs a whole load of these tools. Number one, he cannot convert silver into gold without having all the tools that he needs. If he's missing one of his tools, he won't. If he has everything, but he doesn't have the fire for his oven, it's a non-starter. So he needs all his tools, and the problem is that these tools are not accessible everywhere you go. You could go to China and you won't be able to find the exact oven that you need or the exact bowl that you need, and then the alchemist is stuck in the middle of China and he doesn't know where to go. He goes to a laboratory, finds something called COVID, brings it back to anyway. V'habiteach b'lekim, so with each of them he's going to say the forward and the backwards. V'habiteach b'lekim, tarpoi mevutach loy mikol siba mesibas ha'olam. Whereas a person who trusts in Hashem has his sustenance guaranteed from any means available in the world. Why? Because Hashem says, I will give you 500 pounds. I will give you 500 shekel. Hashem is saying that. Hashem doesn't say, I will give you 500 shekel worth of this. Hashem says how much money is meant to come to you, and that amount will come to you through various different channels. As in, you sometimes choose some of those channels for yourself. We sometimes take money that we shouldn't. That's money that was meant to come to us, that we've just taken it. So now we're just not enjoying the use of the money as much as had we been given it. There's all different ways of how this can work. But ultimately, a person who trusts in God has a sustenance guaranteed from any means, meaning that you're not limited to a specific set of tools, because Hashem is providing for you because Hashem is providing for you. Hashem is not providing for you because you have this house or this family or this. He's providing for you because he's providing for you. And when you believe that, then you could be anywhere in the world and Hashem will still provide for you. You could be on a boat in the middle of the ocean and Hashem will provide for you. You could be in the middle of the desert and Hashem will provide for you. Or you could be in the middle of a city and Hashem will provide for you. Whilst the alchemist has to be somewhere where he has all his tools available to him. Good.
Excuse me, but how you explain, like, Kosem? You know what is Kosem?
Ken, magician.
You know, you teach us how to make the Kisamim. You have this power.
Experience.
You have experience, I think.
What, in teaching?
No, in teaching.
In what?
With all this.
We all do. Anachno. Anachno. Ma'aminim.
No, but I'm like it.
Yeah, no.
So,
Ma'amin. אנחנו מאמינים בני מאמינים.
אמן
בשם ובשם. כן. אנחנו מאמינים בני מאמינים. אז לכולנו יש את זה בפנים, שאנחנו יודעים שהכל מלמעלה. כולם יודעים, כל יהודי, אם אתה שואל, כל יהודי, מי נותן לך את החיים? אפילו חילוני גמור, מי נותן לך החיים? כולם יודעים שהכל מלמעלה. מה הבעיה? שיש פעמים כל יום, שאני שוכח שאני מאמין, או אני שוכח שהקדוש ברוך הוא בתוך כל דבר. אני חושב, כן, אבל עכשיו יש לי פגישה עם מישהו עם הרבה כסף, ואני אשריך את זה, ועכשיו שיש לי פגישה, אני חושב שזה עליי, לא על הקדוש ברוך הוא, זה עליי. זה הבעיה שיש לכל בן אדם, כל יום. There's things that we do where we are consciously thinking of Hashem, and there's things that we do where we're not consciously thinking of Hashem.
Trusting changes the matter, you know.
When you say trusting?
Trusting changes the matter.
Because
if you trust, you are going to transform the trust of someone else towards you. People who build trust, and therefore you could say, what's the matter? And I would say, it doesn't matter.
Oh, very good. Okay, so just to read that again inside, when the person trusts in Hashem, he has his sustenance given to him from anything that's available in the world. Sha'omar Kosov, as we see in the pasuk, leman hoydiacha ki loy al halechem levadoi yichya ha'adam ki al kol moitza pi Hashem yichya ha'adam. This is a pasuk regarding the mon. That Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron, take some of them on and let's leave it for the generations, right? So that everyone should remember, leman hoydiachos, that you should remember that it's not the bread itself, yichya adam. It's not on the bread itself that the person is living. Ki al kol moitza pi Hashem yichya ha'adam. But by whatever comes from the mouth of Hashem does the man live. Meaning that Hashem can decide that this person can eat the bread and die or not eat the bread and live. The bread has nothing to do with whether he is living or dying. We tell ourselves that we need the bread because that's going to help us live. But really, the bread in and of itself has nothing to do. Why? Because we have seen all the way through, nothing in nature was reliable. There has been always different thing. The Makkos was Hashem showing, I made nature. Don't rely on nature. Rely on me who made nature. Because if you rely on nature, one day you might have Borah coming down. One day you might have Arab. All the different Makkot and Mitzrayim was Hashem showing you that the same way that this is natural, that you just always know that lions live there and the polar bears live there and they all live there, in a split second I can have them all walking here and they could just be roaming the streets of any city like in the world. Nothing's normal. I am the creator of normal, I am the creator of the world, and I decide what's normal, and I decide what I want to do and what I don't want to do. So Hashem is saying, I decide whether a person lives or not, not the bread. It might be your hishtadlut to eat bread, to help your physical body to survive in this world. Yes. But it's not the bread that is keeping you alive, it's Hashem deciding that you get to stay alive. In the desert, the Jews were not sustained by God in the usual way. Through consumption, in the usual way, through consumption of regular food. Instead, he sustained them. This is in a footnote, I don't think it's in there. Instead, he sustained them by providing them manna, which fell freely from the heaven. This illustrates that Hashem is not limited to the natural order. Rather, he can provide for us in any manner he wishes. Yeah. So he says here that the manna is where we know from that you could be anywhere in the world. Because the fact that something, food, to feed their physical bodies, even though it was a spiritual food and their bodies essentially were also spiritual, they didn't have anything physical to do. That's what they were begging for in last week's parasha. But the fact that it could fall from heaven means that in the middle of the Midbar, you could be in the middle of the ocean, you could be by yourself, in the middle of the safari in South Africa, anywhere, and Hashem can send you exactly what you need. Why? Ki hasibos einon nivtzoros mimenu b'chol eisa v'chol makom, kashe yodato. Ki hasibos einon nivtzoros mimenu b'chol eisa v'chol makom, kashe yodato midva Eliyahu im ha'orvim v'im ha'isha. For no means of providing sustenance is lacking from God at any time or in any place. As we know from the story of Eliyahu HaNavi with the ravens and the widow, and how God sustained him with a coal-baked cake and a flask of water. So let's read the note at the bottom. After Eliyahu HaNavi proclaimed to the wicked King Ahav and his wife that there would be a famine and no rain would fall until Eliyahu would allow it, Hashem told Eliyahu to hide from retribution at the brook of Cherith, near the Jordan. God promised that he would command ravens to sustain him there with food and that Eliyahu would have water from the brook. Eliyahu listened to Hashem and it states, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. According to the Gemara, the ravens took this food from King Ahav's kitchen. We actually had this,
Chulin 5a, we had it recently. There was like a video of it, of this big party.
After the brook dried up, due to lack of rain, Hashem commanded Eliyahu to go to the city of Tzarfat, where a certain widow would take care of him.
Huh? Tzapacha. Not
Tzarfat. Where a certain widow would take care of him. Indeed, at the end of the city, the widow was at the city gate collecting wood, and she gave Eliyahu water to drink. So basically, this is a story where Eliyahu HaNavi was sent on a mission by Hashem, and he had to go away from away from society for a bit to like hide. And it said that ravens, birds, went.
Ovim.
The black ones, yeah. Raven. They went to King Ahav, Melech Ahav. He had a beautiful table laden with food. And it picked up foods, and it took them to where Eliyahu HaNavi was. Why did this come in the Gemara and Chulin? This is on the daf about Kutim, whether you could trust the Shechita or not. That was how it came in. Anyway, so that is how we see that Hashem can give you food anywhere. He can send you away from society. Ravens will come and bring, not just food, they'll come and take food from your arch enemy, the person who you've run away from, will bring their food to you. Because that's just the extra twist that Hashem put in. That wasn't just that these ravens bought him food, that the ravens bought him Ahav's food, and he was there hiding because he was away from Ahav. These, which, just by the way, this is just making me think, last week, one of the things that we discussed is that sometimes a wealthy person only has things in his property so that he can store it for other people. So maybe this was Ahav, who, like Eliyahu had to go because of him, had to be the one to sustain him.
Why do wealthy people have lots of money? They do all the hard work in order to give it to somebody else.
But if it's a nachon b'meah, without the pesim, shah shom, gam atzich lalek l'avod.
Yafe.
No, rezini.
Yofi.
Yofi. Not really.
Yofi.
Yofi. No, b'meah, stam ani
yom. Lama?
No, l'agid zemi.
Az en lanu bitachon amiti. Ze.
Az tam ani yom achan lo tzich lalek
l'avod.
Lo. Ma lo?
B'chayim, sarich, לעשות משהו שיש לך את הכל. אם אתה רוצה כסף, אתה צריך לעשות משהו. או אתה הולך לעבוד,
או... אני יודע שהתורה מניעה על עבודה, תורה ו...
כן, אבל איזה עבודה?
עשו עבודה קצת?
לא, עבודה זה מהסידור.
זה עבודת השם.
רוצה השם אלוקינו בעמך ישראל ובתפילתם, והשב את העבודה לדבר ביתך. העבודה זה העבודה זה לא העבודה שלנו.
באדם...
עבודה זה עבודת השם, לחצך זה עבודת...
באדם זה כתוב, בזה תאפך תאכל לחם. שאתה צריך לעשות משהו. אבל מה אתה צריך לעשות? מה אתה צריך לעשות? אז ברוך השם, יש לנו ספר של 300 דפים. עכשיו אנחנו בדף 15. ועוד...
אבל אני לא צריך לדעת
הספר הזה. ועוד זמן...
I don't need the books.
למה?
כי אם אתה אומר שזה נכון, אני מאמין שזה
נכון.
בסדר. ואתה מאמין שזה נכון, אתה כל היום צריך לדבר כזה.
וזה... ומה? וזה משהו רע? זה משהו שאתה לא רוצה?
אני רק אומר, if you know the secret,
כן.
Why don't all the time you sleep here, the synagogue of Jerusalem?
לא, לא, לא.
As there is the, how we say, balance with the, all the world.
Very good. So, you ask...
If I don't born dati,
אתה, אתה שאלת על העבודה, like to go to work. Okay?
No, same example.
יש הבדל from work to לימוד תורה. There's a big gap in between. כן? Okay? עכשיו, למה אתה לא בעבודה? למה אתה פה? איך יש לך זמן להיות פה?
יש לי אחד אשר.
כן?
אמר לי, יום שבת אתה חייב לבוא.
אה, יפה.
באמת, טוב. אמר לי ככה, פותח בצ'ר, 100%. אתה חייב לבוא.
יפה, יפה. ואין לך עבודה עכשיו?
אני יכול לעבוד, מי הבוקר?
אתה, כן?
כל הלילה ל-24 שעות.
כן? ולמה אתה לא עובד ככה?
למה לא עובד ככה?
כן?
אז אני אסביר לך. אתה רוצה לשמוע?
כן.
באמת אתה רוצה?
כן.
אז אני רוצה להגיד לך משהו. אם אתה עובד השם, אתה לא צריך לעבוד דקה בחוץ.
את מה?
אם אתה עובד, כמו שאתה אומר, בתורה, ומאמין, וזה, ועושה את הכל, כן. הכסף יבוא אליך, כולל הזר.
נכון.
נו, אז למה אתה, אני סתם אומר, לא פה כל יום.
אני כן פה כל
סתם
יום.
סתם אני, לא יודע.
האמת הוא שאני... כן פה כל יום, זה האמת, אבל כן, אז הבעיה הוא שיש ניסיונות, מה זה ניסיון? ניסיון זה, ניסיון זה...
אז אתה אומר שאנחנו מתפתים, אני ואתה, אנחנו קונים מכונית, קונים בית,
כן,
קונים זה.
אין לי בית, אני לא צריך בית.
אין לו בית, יש לך גבוהל?
מה?
גבוהל, you live in the...
לא.
בית?
לא, אבל אין לי בית, אין לי בית, אני שוכר ממישהו אחר דירה.
אבל אני משלם על זה.
אוקיי.
Where is the balance? אפילו הדתיים הולכים, קונים בית, תקשיב, ב-3-4 מיליון, שואלים אותם, עשו מחקר, אינדטיבי, בעמק, אהוי זה... סקר, מתקו אותם, מתקו וזו. לא יודעים איפה מגיע הכסף.
תשמע.
רציני.
תשמע.
לא יודעים, הם לא יודעים, וקונה הבן אדם, מקבל 1,000 שקל, איך קונה דירה ב-3 מיליון. עשו בדיקה בטלוויזיה, 20 פעם בטלוויזיה, הם לא יודעים איפה מגיע הכסף. אני שואל אותך, מגיע
הכסף.
תשמע.
כל השאלה זה כמה עבודה שאתה צריך לעשות כדי לקבל את הכסף?
לא, לא.
מה אתה עושה מהזמן האחר?
תקשיב, עשו בדיקה, התברר שעשו בין 25. אקזמפל, 25. בגלל זה אני אומר לך, מה זה לא לאכול? לא לסמוך על האוכל. כמה אתה יכול לאכול? ביום? 10 קילו. מקסימום, נכון? מקסימום. 10, 20 קילו?
סתם.
מסע, מה שאתה רוצה. אם אתה תאכל, כמו הדתי, כולה איזה 100-200 גרם, זה מה שהם אוכלים. לא אוכלים סטייקים. לא אוכלים, הם לא, אין להם טלפונים יקרים, הכל הם עושים בצמצום, הם מגיעים לשם.
נכון, נכון.
וזה הסיפור של האלטר, באוכל, בשתייה, והכל. כי גם תאכל כל יום 10 קילו בשר, ו-100 גרם בשר, זה אותו דבר, אותו דבר.
כמו שאתה יכול לאכול 10 קילו.
אתה תאכל לקילו, אבל זה שם עולה לדמיון. אתה יכול לקחת את ה9 קילו הזה, לשים בבנק ולמנף אותו. אתה לקחת את ה9 קילו ולתרום, וזה יבוא לך יותר. זה הסיפור שלנו.
אז הוא אומר, הוא אומר...
אתה מבין? אתה מה שאתה חוסך. הוא לא מה שאתה חוסך, אתה מקבל. כמה שאתה רוצה. כמה שאתה רוצה.
זה מה שאומר. ככה הם עושים. איך הם מגיעים דור? הם תורמים.
אבל זה משהו אחר.
אותו דבר.
אבל...
זה הסיפור.
לא, לא. זה אותו דבר, אבל רק שואלים את השאלות הזה. ב-251. עכשיו אנחנו בדף 15, אנחנו אפילו בהקדמה של...
בהתחלה של זה.
עכשיו הוא רק אומר למה יש... why is there a minor? למה ביטחון זה יותר טוב מבלי ביטחון. עכשיו הוא לא אומר על העבודה, הוא לא אומר על כל הדברים, אבל יש תירוצים...
מי פה
זה דבר? לא, יש תירוצים על כל דבר, מה לעשות, ואיך זה הולך החיים. שיש מישהו, אפילו שלומד בכולל כל היום, כן? ופתאום הוא הולך בתוך הרכב ויש פקק. אני צריך ללכת למנחה עכשיו, אני צריך ללכת, והוא בלחץ, הוא בלחץ. אבל זה למנחה, אז הוא אומר שזה לשם שמיים, כן? למה הוא בלחץ?
והוא לא בטח בשביל.
Lamo bulachat as beha in this incident beha beha matzav hazeh hu choshev shekol hanagim po hem habayah. Lamo hu po lamo lamo kufetz kacha lamo ken hu haya kol hayom בבית המדרש. הוא עכשיו, הוא בדרך למנחה, להתבלל אל השם, והוא אמר, מה זה? מה הבעיה פה? הבעיה פה, שאותו השם שהוא הולך להתבלל לו, מנחה, אותו השם עשה כל הרחבים הזה, כל הנהגים פה, כל הרחובות, כל מה שיש כאן שהוא רואה עכשיו, זה מהשם. והשם הוא בתוך כל דבר. והוא לא חושב, הוא חושב, אני צריך ללכת להתפלל. למה אני צריך ללכת? אז זה רצון השם. והוא אפילו לא חושב ש the fact שהוא פה, בתוך הרכב, בהפקה כזה, זה גם רצון השם. הוא חושב שהוא יותר טוב in this instance מרצון השם. And this happens in everything, כן? יש מישהו who is about to go into a big business meeting. He has a massive meeting and he's relying on this meeting. Now, he wakes up in the morning, says the whole of Tehillim. He says, Hashem, I know you are taking control of the meeting. Yeah? He's got this huge meeting and the guy doesn't turn up. Who lo magia la meeting? The guy was meant to meet, this big guy was meant to come meet him and this guy doesn't come. What does the guy think to himself? Tehillim. Shame, I woke up 3 hours earlier, I've got so much more work done. I woke up 3 hours earlier to do the Tehillim and the guy didn't turn up. Because this guy, he assumes that he knows how the story ends. He assumes that he knows what tomorrow holds, what next week holds. Really, maybe the guy didn't turn up because Hashem wanted to save the space open for him that next week something even greater is going to come along, and had he already signed on this, he would be uncomfortable signing that. We have no idea, but we know that his Tehillim went to a good place. So how is it that after doing the Tehillim you can go and regret it straight away? Because there comes a moment where you feel like you are back in the driver's seat, where Hashem's not in control anymore, I'm in control now. And in this thing, I'm in control. Oh, this is not how I wanted it to be, this is not how I envisioned it going. I think we'll leave it here.